I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a
soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Save souls and slay error. That's
Amen.
What Perry and Jesse show is all about.
Amen.
We're 10-8. Two guys reporting for duty to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Absolutely. Blessed Virgin Mary, our 12-star general. Terry, you're on duty, my
I'm
friend.
Reporting for duty, sir. And you know what? I am so happy to do that, Jess. I couldn't think of a better thing to do except to share the love of Jesus Christ and his church, even in the times that we're living in that are so, you know, sick in the sense of teaching the faith to people. We have such a great need for people to know the meaning and purpose of life. And here at the Terry and Jesse Show, what do, Jess? We give them the Word of God right at the very beginning of our show because we know, as the church teaches, ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ. So today's readings for Advent, second week of Advent, are going to be from Matthew. So
Chapter 18, verses 12 to 14.
Got it.
It's the parable of the lost sheep. It's very short.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you a reflection from one of the fathers of the church, St. Hilary and St. Anselm.
Excellent.
It says, our Lord says, so he said to his disciples, what do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the hills and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So what is the will of God? The will of God is, we see in Scripture, it is 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. It says, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved.
That's right.
And to come to the knowledge of the truth. So God's will is that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, sacred scripture says the same thing. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is forbearing towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Now, this doesn't teach universal salvation, because God's will is that every man be saved, but is it our will? That's the question.
You got it.
Your will, as St. Thomas Aquinas says, how is one saved? It's an act of the will. Just
will it.
So if you don't will what God's will, God will give you your will. If you don't desire salvation, God will, he's a gentleman. He'll say, okay, you want to go to that place of darkness, eternal perdition, I'm going to allow you to make that decision. I'm not going to stop you, even though I love you. But here's what two of the fathers of the church, St. Anselm and St. Hilary, say about this passage. They say, the lost sheep represent mankind who have gone astray in sin. The 99 on the hills are the angels in heaven. In the incarnation, when God became a man, Christ temporarily descended from the hills to seek the lost souls of men through the redemption on the cross. Christ restores men to grace and raises them again to the company of angels. And we also know that Ezekiel, he says the same thing as today's gospel in Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel foretells that God himself would assume the role of a shepherd to seek out and rescue the lost sheep of his fold. And that was fulfilled in the persons of and that was fulfilled perfectly in the person of Jesus Christ, Ezekiel's prophecy.
Well said, Jesse. Before I bring Bishop Sheen on, I want to just mention that LifeSite and also Church Militant have a great article regarding how the Monsignor from the Diocese of Peoria is coming out, and he's just being real blunt about it. He's accusing Rochester Diocese of sabotaging the Fulton Sheen's beatification. Yes, it's just the facts. And it doesn't surprise me, because he was attacked at Fulton Sheen, I'm talking about, during his life and after his life. People, you know, are upset about him because, you know what, it's embarrassing. If people aren't living the faith, do you think they'd want him as a model? when he talks about the daily holy hour and sin.
Especially his brother Bishop.
Are you kidding me? It's embarrassing, Jesse. So I just want to continue to ask people to pray that novena we talked about yesterday. But you know what? I have a special thing today because I'm going to bring Bishop Sheen on the train. So I want to bring him in. Full Sheen ahead. And Jesse, I want Bishop Sheen to speak for himself regarding the devil. Please play that clip. Okay, he's got to wait. The engineer's taking a second. Now he's got it. This is important.
There was a man went to heaven, and he thought perhaps he would like to go to hell, see what it was like, and he asked St. Peter if he could go down. So he went down to hell and rather enjoyed himself over the weekend. Came back to heaven, and the following weekend said to Peter, "Really, I didn't mind it down there. Could I go down again?" "Yes," said Peter. And for the second time, he came back and reported enjoying himself. The third time, he asked to go down, and Peter said, "Now, this is your last time." When he got down, the devil put him in one of the hot corners of hell. And he said to the devil, "When I was here before, you treated me nicely." "Yes," he said, "then you were a tourist. Now you're a resident." So remember, we get treated very well now by the devil, but when we're residents, he does not treat us as well.
Jesse, I relate that to our life, that, you know, people are having all kinds of good times during this life, committing serious sin, okay? And they're thinking, "Hey, this is all right. I mean, I committed this fornication, adultery, all these serious sins that can go to hell, that would send me to hell. But you know what? During my lifetime, I actually had a good time committing these sins." And then it's payback time. And when he dies, he finds out that what he did on planet Earth is going to affect where he's going to spend all eternity. And so what's the message I hear today from Bishop Sheen? Live a holy life, man. Don't fall for the devil's trick. Jess, your thoughts.
Terry, I couldn't agree more. And I think this is why he was not appreciated. And he's not liked by a lot of the bishops back then and now.
That's right.
Because he was a straight-talking prelate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he promoted, you know, talked about death, judgment, heaven, and hell, promoted the daily holy hour.
Yep.
Talked a lot about those cardinal issues, those moral issues, the real presence of Christ. He talked about all the issues that modernists dislike and have contempt for. And so it doesn't surprise me that they're trying to sabotage, and I'm just going to call it that. They're trying to sabotage his canonization, beatification.
Well, we keep praying.
Yeah.
Hey, Jesse, I got some good news here. This is showing me what people can do with prayer and sacrifice. The Supreme Court leaves in place the Kentucky abortion law mandating ultrasounds. You remember, Jesse, two years ago in 2017, the court said, "You know what? You can't have an abortion in Kentucky unless you have a ultrasound. You can see the baby inside of you." And the ACLU, Civil Liberties Union, American Civil Liberties Union, went and said, "No way, we're going to attack that." They took it all the way to the Supreme Court. And Jesse, yesterday, the Supreme Court said, "We're going to leave it. Doctors must perform ultrasounds and have women listen to their baby's heartbeat before performing abortion." So that's a success story. Another one, because you know what, Jess? We got lots of bad news in our church right now, but we also have good news of lay people. And we have some priests later in the show. Wait till you hear at the end of the show what we talk about with a priest who just stood up for the truth. And man, he's getting affirmed by a lot of lay people. Here's another good news story. The Canadian Church of Atheism is denied charitable status after court finds it's not a religion. Jesse, the Canadian said, "Atheism is not a religion. You're not going to get your tax-exempt status." And they fought it, and they took it up to the courts, and the court said, "Nope, you're not a religion. Next." So why do I say that's good? Because we're starting to have common sense, because common sense ain't that common. And the last one is kind of ridiculous, Jesse. I want you to comment on this. I say it's good news, but it's not really. It's kind of shows you the times that we're living in.
Yeah, it just shows you how pathetically weak
Weak. Now, I've been praying for this Jesuit superior last year who said he didn't think the devil was for real. I mean, it was really pathetic that the superior of all the Jesuits would say that. We all said, "What? Give me a break." Well, on December 6th, he came out, and here's what he said. He's reporting that the devil is real. Are you? I'm saying that's good news that some some leader of the Jesuits is saying that the devil is real. Well, hey, I hope he says that, but he said that, and it made headlines. Does that say something about what's going on in our church? He said Satan is not a symbol, but a person. Satan is the one who stands between God's plan and the work of salvation accomplished by Christ, because he made this irreversible and free decision, and he wants to drag others to reject the merciful God who prefers to give his life to save instead to condemn. Jesse, is this unbelievable that I have to say that's good news that the Jesuit head general has had a metanoia, a change of heart, that he believes in something as fundamental as the devil? I mean, is this microphone on?
All this Jesuit did, I mean, golly, all he did was he went to the catechism and read paragraph 395, 396 and said, oh, that's been there for 50-some years.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I should, accept this church teaching. This is the pathetic state of the church.
It is, Jesse.
That a Jesuit, the superior, now we're not just talking about a Jesuit.
No.
The top Jesuit would make such an erroneous doctrinal statement. That went worldwide, and apparently somebody told him, hey, Father, read the catechism and see what it says there. Hey, I never thought about that. Maybe I will. He read it, and I guess I should have said that.
Wow.
Pathetic.
When we come back, we're going to talk about what's happening in China with our Catholics that, I'm going to be honest with you, McCarrick was the one who cut that deal and with the Pope's approval, and it's been a disaster. You're going to find out why we should keep praying for our church in China. We'll be back with much more on the Terry and Jesse Show.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is Jesse Romero. Join me on a pilgrimage of faith and discovery to Poland for the 100th year anniversary of the birth of St. John Paul II in May of 2020. Together, we'll experience the faith, beauty, and culture of Poland and become imbibed with the spirit of John Paul II. We'll visit the town of Wadowice, where John Paul was born, and the city of Krakow, where he was ordained and later became bishop. We'll also travel to Jasna Góra and visit Our Lady of Częstochowa, and we'll have a chance to venerate the original image of the Merciful Jesus at St. Faustina's Convent and the city that St. Maximilian Kolbe built for the Immaculata. Finally, we'll pay a visit to Auschwitz, where St. Maximilian Kolbe was martyred. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to worship and discover your own faith at places where St. John Paul II grew in his own love for our Lord. For more information or how to join this pilgrimage, visit my website at jesseromero.com.
Genesis 1:27 says, God created man in his own image. Male and female he created them. According to Pope St. John the 23rd, it is not true that some human beings are by nature superior and others inferior. All human beings are equal in their natural dignity. May God help us to look upon everyone as a person created in his image and likeness, and treat everyone the same without favoritism or prejudice.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Does this support you, the betrayal of the Chinese Communist government against the Catholic Church? Why do I say that?
Yeah.
There are portraits Chinese communist portraits replacing Catholic symbols in the Catholic churches in communist China.
Yep.
The places of worship refusing to be controlled by the state are being shut down, while the government-run churches are used to worship the Chinese Communist Party. And a Catholic church in a city called Jian in the southeastern province of Jiangxi was built this year at the cost of more than $1 million in our money, $140,000, which had been raised by believers. And it was named, quote, the true and original source of the universe, close quote. That's a reference to the name inscribed in 1711 on a plaque of one of the Chinese communist emperors. And that was donated to the Catholic Church in Beijing. And not long after that, not long after this church opened its doors, the church became the target of the local government's persecutions. In fact, in late September, local officials ordered the congregation to paint over the sign with the name of the church and replace it with the following, quote, follow the party, obey the party, and be grateful to the party. They're talking about the Communist Party.
Of course.
And also to display the national flag of the communist at the entrance of the Catholic Church. And I'll tell you what also has hurt a lot of the congregations most is the removal of a painting of the Virgin Mary with the Christ child. And it was later discarded into a dark corner of the church. And instead, now they've put a portrait of President Xi Jinping, which was hung in the center of one of the walls, surrounded by the propaganda slogans on both sides. Terry, this is the perfect example of the denial of religious liberty when we compromised with them.
Of course. And Jesse, I want to say this was a year ago when this deal was cut. And I'm going to mention former Cardinal McCarrick, who flew over to China many, many times cutting this deal. And I'm still wanting two things, okay? Jess, I know I sound like a broken record. Number one, I want to know who knew about McCarrick. What other prelates were involved when he was handing out cash to everybody, telling them to keep their mouths shut? Those people who took cash, I'm hoping the Holy Father, when we get that report, will fire all those people. Number two, I want to know the deal that was cut a year ago for the Chinese, because this deal looks so bad on the persecution of the church. I just think it's full disclosure. What did we agree to? Because it looks and appears right now we agreed that communism is going to run the Catholic Church in China, and it's going to be suppressed. When these people spend $140,000 on their church and then they can't even use it for what it was being built for, the Chinese are just going to continue to abuse Christians. And I believe that Cardinal Zen, who was a holy man, we've had him on our show over the years, he's just saying, look, I'm going to the monastery to pray because I've said everything I can say to tell the Vatican that they did this deal and it was a terrible deal. I'm the guy that lived in China and you didn't even go to me to get my advice. Jesse, this sounds like this deal was cut by people who I can't trust, because what's happened, the hoi polloi Catholic in China is having to go underground to live their faith. And I still would say this, that I believe that when these deals that they're cut, whether it's McCarrick or with the Chinese, we need to know who knew what, because whoever did this, they need to be fired and removed. And so that's just my take.
Terry, there's a plausible theory that Cardinal McCarrick was a communist when he was young, that he encountered the communists when he was in Europe.
I read that, yep.
And there's several authors that have actually written about that. Mm-hmm. And so, to me, it's plausible.
What makes sense, doesn't it? Think about what. Look what this man's done.
He went 8 times in behalf of Pope Francis to China. 8 times.
Yep.
As supposedly, he was suspended by Pope Benedict, and here he is as an ambassador to China by Pope Francis. Something's fishy in Denmark, Terry.
Yeah, it smells really bad.
I'm looking here at this article, and I'm looking at the portrait of President Xi.
Yeah.
I guess that's how you pronounce it.
President Xi.
It hangs at the center of the wall of the church,
there's
propaganda slogans on both sides.
Yep.
A few days later, the officials confiscated the keys of the church and locked all its doors and windows.
Exactly.
And the Catholics basically lost their place of worship.
That's right.
I'm looking at another picture in this article. You can get it at vmpr.org or my website, jesseromero.com, if you want to get all the show material.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at this picture of the painting of the Virgin Mary with the Christ child and St. Joseph. It's just discarded in a corner. It looks like they're ready to throw it away. And the same month, a Catholic meeting venue that's not part of the Chinese Patriotic Catholic Association, which is the official Catholic Church under communist regime, in Jiaping, Poyang County, they ordered to stop Catholic religious activities.
Yep.
And the local officials have threatened to revoke retirement pensions
yep.
of elderly congregation members if there's another Catholic meeting held there. And the church's cross and a painting of the Virgin Mary and religious couplets were removed, and portraits of President Xi and the dictator Mao Zedong were displayed instead of the Catholic crucifix and other Catholic statues. In my take, Terry, this is another way of the communists
yep.
discouraging believers, and the communist government, by these actions, are basically saying, Catholics, you're not welcome here.
And Jesse, this isn't the first time the church has made a prudential decision that's been really bad, okay, for the church. In Mexico, during the revolution, we remember, and I'll just tell you, my recollection of it is that there were 5,000 men who were told by the Vatican to put their guns down because they're going to be able to negotiate with the Mexican government and everybody's going to be fine and, we'll have peace. And, of course, what happened, Jesse, was just the opposite. When those men put their guns down and came in, they were slaughtered. Okay, so I'm just saying on prudential decisions like this, the church can make these prudential mistakes. And I believe, I'm just calling it for what it is, Jess. This is a huge mistake that the Holy See has made negotiating with communism. And every time, if you think back to like Cardinal of Hungary, Cardinal Manzini, he would never negotiate with the communists. And you know what? We beat them at their game in the sense that the Catholics survived, made sacrifices, and we got rid of communism. See, communism is here today and it will be gone eventually. But to negotiate and do what we did now, we're basically negotiating with the devil. Okay, that's my take on communism. I think the devil is having a heyday with this deal. That's my take.
The article also, I'm looking at a picture in this article that got the president, again, President Xi and Mao Zedong, one of the dictators. They were posted at a Catholic meeting venue in Poyang County. And in early May, there's another Catholic venue in Poyang County that was shut down on the grounds that any church refusing to join the Chinese Patriotic Catholic Association is a dangerous cult and not permitted to operate. And the real Catholic congregation members said that they would rather worship at home than join the state-run church. And in September, in preparation for an inspection by Wang Yang, the president of the Chinese People's Political Consultative Conference, the local officials ordered the congregation of the state-run St. Joseph's Cathedral in Linchuan District of Fuzhou City to display slogans supporting the Chinese Communist Party and promoting traditional Chinese culture outside the Catholic Church. So the church now looks like a government propaganda agency. As you look at pictures of the exterior of this once beautiful St. Joseph's Cathedral in Fuzhou County. And the propaganda slogans promoting the love for the Chinese Communist Party have been placed outside St. Joseph's Cathedral. And after the inspection, the Provincial Chinese Patriotic Catholic Association and the National Commission of the Chinese Catholic Church, they convened a special meeting to discuss and study speeches by Wang Yang. Instead of studying the gospel,
yep.
They're studying speeches
from
the communists. And the Chinese Patriotic Catholic Church, their clergy proclaimed their support for the Communist Party's leadership, love for the country and religion, and they pledged to contribute their share to realize China's dream, the great renewal of the nation. So, Terry, you have priests and bishops under the Patriotic Communist Church. They're basically mouthpiece.
A
mouthpiece. For President Xi.
I would even say more than a mouthpiece. They're being paid by the government of China to do this job. And they're being paid well.
German prelates.
Exactly. And not only that, Jesse, we have to go back in history. Look what happened in Cuba with Fidel, with his communism. He took the church and said, look, you believe in God? Okay, ask God for a candy bar. No, God didn't give you a candy bar. Ask Fidel for a candy bar. He gives them candy bars. He was training the kids to get rid of religion, and that's what they're doing in China. As a matter of fact, Jesse, if you're 18 years or younger, they won't even let you in a Catholic church. So what are they doing? They're getting the young. They're planning years from now that they want to get rid of the Catholic faith, Christianity. And they're doing it very cleverly. I have to give them credit for being very smart, because they negotiated with Rome, and they won, you know?
Yes. Now, yeah, they're not doing it with tanks and machine
guns. No.
No, they're just doing it by pure propaganda and pressure, political pressure. Terry, this retired priest in China, he's from the northeastern province, he said this, quote, "Falling under communist control is the calamity to the Catholic Church."
Mm-hmm.
He says, "Joining the Chinese Patriotic Catholic Association is equivalent to handing oneself to the devil." This was what a retired Catholic priest said. And he said that that the regimes, the communist regime's pressure to make all Catholic churches join the Chinese Patriotic Catholic Association, he said that he chose to retire because he doesn't want to undergo this Chinese Communist Party's indoctrination, and he doesn't want to help to indoctrinate young Catholics. Terry, these are the bitter fruits of failing to listen to the warnings of Fatima.
And Jesse, okay?
We're reaping the disobedience as lay people and as clergy, and we have a false religion, just like the Catechism says in paragraph 675. This secular religion, which is a false religion, that's replacing the one true church of Jesus Christ.
Well said. Jesse, I met a priest from China 20 years ago who was branded because he worked on the underground church. And he told me personally, that's why I'm passionate about this. He told me about how the church is being treated in China. And you know, Jesse, I met a young man from Dunwoody in New York 20 years ago also, who was going to be ordained as a Catholic priest in America and then been sent back to the underground church. And his parents were murdered by the communists. So guess what? He didn't have a chalice. And God provided us with a beautiful chalice from Manresa Retreat House that closed. It was a $10,000 chalice that we got for nothing. And I made sure that that chalice is in China today. And I have no idea where that priest is today. He was a young man 20 years ago, and he would never succumb to communism. He was a hardcore Catholic, and he's underground saving souls. And I just want to say that. That's why I'm passionate about this. I've met these priests who have been suffering, and I just feel horrible that we, as a church, have misguided them by agreeing to work with atheistic communism. Jesse, what's up after when we come back, brother?
Harry, I'm telling you, we got the
Raymond Arroyo,
from Raymond Arroyo. It's going to make your jaw drop.
Hey, they're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. We're too blessed to be stressed, too anointed to be disappointed. We'll be right back.
Welcome to our January 11th, 2020 Spiritual Warfare Conference. Every year without fail, this is our most popular, well-attended event. This year's Spiritual Warfare Conference will host Adam Bly, a Catholic demonologist and an auxiliary member of the International Association of Exorcists, along with Dr. Luis Sandoval, a psychiatrist who's part of the Healing, Deliverance, and Exorcism team for the Diocese of Orange. These two gentlemen bring tons of experience and expertise in the area of spiritual warfare. This is going to be a high-information Catholic seminar. I'll be there as well, sharing some riveting stories on the diabolical and liberation found through Jesus Christ from my best-selling book, The Devil in the City of Angels. Mark your calendars, come and join us, and meet other radio hosts from Jesus 911. Contrary to popular belief, spiritual warfare is not demon-centered. It's Christ-centered. Come join us and learn how to armor up and fight the good fight of faith. Catholics, wake up. Don't hit the snooze button. Join us at St. Christopher Catholic Church, 629 South Glendora Avenue, West Covina, California, on January 11, 2020. See you then. Strength and honor in Jesus' name.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us, by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time, because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Blue Collar Catholic Radio, praise God.
Rated Amen, brother.
Hey, keep your eyes on Jesus.
Amen.
Keep your eyes
Please.
On men. Don't, yeah, pray for your priest, your bishop, the Pope.
Exactly.
They're not the object of our faith. Jesus is. That's Amen. Why we worship him and him alone.
Yep.
And we receive Jesus in the sacraments of the church.
Yep.
Sanctifying grace. We don't receive a Pope, a bishop, or priest through any sanctifying grace. Remember that. They're all men just like you and I are. Pray for them. Listen to them when they are giving you the perennial teachings of the church.
You got it.
That's all I can say. I want to play a 1 minute clip from Raymond Arroyo from EWTN where he gives the dollar amount, Terry, of what the federal government gives the USCCB, and then we'll make some comments. Can we play that clip, Mr. Engineer?
Federal policies.
I want to give the audience a better idea of the amount the USCCB receives in federal grants. The USCCB's Migration and Refugee Services offices received in fiscal year 2018 $47.7 million. Since fiscal year 2008, MRS has taken in over $742 million. And if you look at all the federal grant money collected by the USCCB for all its various services, we're talking $363 million in 2018. $531 million in 2017. And if you look back to 2008, the USCCB has taken in over $4 billion from the federal government. That data comes from Capital Research Center here in Washington, D.C. Bishop, quick question. With billions on the line in federal grants, have the bishops become too attached to those funds, and particularly to this issue of refugee resettlement? And we can get further into it, but I want your quick reaction to that.
Great question. Great question.
You're not kidding. It is. Follow the money.
He said everything you need to hear, Terry. That's what he just said. Follow the money. Terry, what's your take? This is mainstream Catholic media here, yeah. EWTN. We're not talking about alternative internet Catholic media like us and others. This is mainstream Catholic media. This admission, Terry, is... It's mind-boggling.
Well, Jesse, I watched that entire show because I watch Raymond every Thursday night, and I would encourage everybody to on EWTN. He has some great people on his show. I would just say this, that I heard the bishop give the report to the bishop's conference saying that this money's coming in and we're going to continue to do what we need to do to keep that money coming in to be solvent for us. And, it was almost like, and I hate to say this, Jesse, it was like a business meeting saying that, yeah, we're getting funding from AT&T and we're going to continue to do this and that. And that it was just follow the money. And I say this because it's sad for me to have to say it, but the money that the government, we talked $4 billion has been given. You don't think that they're going to be careful on what they say to not offend the government? I mean, this is what I like about some of the Catholic schools that don't get federal funding, Jesse. Because then they can do pretty much what they want to do and not have the federal government tell them what to do. But when you start getting paid by the government to do a job, they tell you what to do.
Here's some comments from people who posted remarks after watching the video.
Yeah.
After one Catholic posted, quote, "I am glad I stopped donating my money to the USCCB." Mm-hmm. Another one posted, "The church needs to stop taking government money."
That's right.
"So they can stay pure to the Catholic faith." I like that one.
That's very well said.
Another one put, time to root out Stalin's infiltrators in the church." Another one posted, this one's kind of a long one. He says, "Great work, Raymond, on bringing attention to the actions or lack thereof at the USCCB. At a minimum, they are tone deaf. But unfortunately, they're not meeting the supernatural obligations of their roles as bishops. Many thanks for making that abundantly clear by showing the financial figures of the revenue they gain from the federal government. It says here, was there any mistake that they made Archbishop Gomez from Los Angeles the new head of the USCCB? Why? Because he's the one that's championing illegal immigration, economic immigration. And that's just a fact. We're not berating him. That's just a fact. His book, that's what he promotes. And unfortunately, this post says in the website, as they are writing to Raymond Arroyo, this says, unfortunately, this seems to be the priority for the USCCB, not addressing the massive and unrelenting loss of Catholic faith in the real presence of the Eucharist, the massive loss of the Catholic faith due to abortion or leaving the faith altogether. Instead, our leaders are signaling topics of gun control and immigration. It's as if we're watching the Democrat Party have a meeting in robes. Yeah. And one good thing, Bishop Strickland did tell Raymond Arroyo, he says, I love this line, he says, hey, we're not a policy arm of the government.
Nope.
So he admitted, saying, you know what? All this money stuff, I don't run the money. I have no idea what's happening here, but I'll tell you one thing. We as bishops are not the policy arm of the government. And so I'm glad that he put that out there.
Well, Jesse, this goes back to my story about the Jesuit general who says now he believes in hell. I wish the bishops, and please, I'm doing this humbly to say to my leaders in my church, would you please talk about the four last things and stop talking about immigration bottle saving and, you know, all this stuff about the environment? Because it's important. I'm not saying it's not important to have what the Catechism says. The government has a right to regulate who comes in. They never quote that, but that's what our Catechism teaches. Give us what the church teaches on it and move on. But let's make the focus back on the salvation of souls. I think, Jesse, out of 40 years that I've been involved in evangelization, what has hurt evangelization? Yes, scandal has hurt evangelization. But you know what has hurt evangelization also? The teaching of the faith not being taught at the local parishes and people not knowing their faith. And I want to say thank you for all the radio stations who play our show, because if you'll notice, we talk about these crazy things that are going on, but what do we talk about? Study your faith. I tell everybody, you get Bishop Sheen's Life is Worth Living. I just gave it away to a fireman today, Jesse, who's going to church, but you know doesn't really understand. He's a young fireman, and I said, listen, dude, you listen to Fulton Sheen's Life is Worth Living, the 50 half-hour shows, and you'll know your faith, and this will help you fall deeper in love. If people want that set on an MP3, I'll give it to you. You just call the 877-526-2151, because this whole solution can be solved by holiness and going back to teaching the fundamentals of the Catholic faith that haven't been taught for decades. Okay, I said it, Jesse.
Yes, there's a crisis of saints, Terry.
That's right.
That's basically it. But we have to do three things.
Tell us.
We have to know our faith.
Amen. Check.
We have to live our faith.
Check.
And we have to spread our faith.
Check.
Though, in that order. It has to be, because, again, if you don't know your faith, you can't live your faith if you don't know it.
That's right.
And you can't share your faith if you don't make it your own.
Yep.
Then once you know your faith, properly catechized, you have to live your faith, because that's something you have to do. It's a public thing. It's not something you do in your closet.
That's right.
It's not meant to be left behind at your house when you leave it there when you leave the house. You can leave your car keys or your wallet, but don't leave your faith. And then the last thing is, not only live your faith like it's a private thing, but spread your Catholic faith. That's what Jesus expects of us. He expects us to evangelize the world, go into all nations and baptize everyone in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. If we don't do that, Terry, this is going to continue, but we have the power at our hands to turn all this around.
That's right.
And again, that's why Fulton Sheen was not like Terry also, because he said that the lay people are going to save the church.
Well said. And you know, Jesse, what you just said about knowing your faith, loving your faith, I want to encourage people, if you haven't fell in love with Jesus Christ in a personal way, go visit him in the Blessed Sacrament. Go before that tabernacle. Go before a monstrance where they have the Blessed Sacrament exposed and talk to Jesus and say, Jesus, Give me faith. Because I believe a lot of people don't have faith, Jesse. Because
they don't ask.
Jesse knows me so well.
Because you ask not. Bible says you have not because you ask not.
Exactly. And so what's the advice we give right
Pretty
now?
Simple.
Ask Jesus Christ every single day. I was in church at 5 o'clock, 4:30 this morning, Jesse. I couldn't sleep. I went in a little early. And I'm praying before Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. And I'm saying, Jesus, what do you want me to say today that's going to inspire people to fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ? And it just came back to me saying, you know what? Tell them to ask for more faith every day, and their faith will grow. So I did.
Yeah, that's, Terry, that makes perfect sense.
It does.
And I'll tell you, even our clergy has to ask for more faith.
Big time.
They can't just assume, well, I got a Roman collar, or I got a martyr, so I've got all the faith that saves me, gets me to heaven. No, they have to get on their knees and humble themselves and ask God for faith as well.
That's right.
And they also have to, Terry, not be so concerned with money. I think the church in my lifetime has been very concerned with money.
Yep.
And I say that because the Pope's Peter Pence donations been used to fund
immoral.
A homosexual movie
terrible.
Called Rocket Man.
Yep.
I guess it's the Elton John
It's horrible.
Movie called Rocket Man. And apparently it features an explicit homosexual sex scene.
Yep.
And guess what? This was financed in part by your money. Catholic parishioners. Why do I say that? Because there's a paper called the Italian Daily. They reported last week that the Malta-based investment firm Centurion Global Fund, who's the largest investor for the Vatican,
funneled
$1.1 million into producing this homosexual film, which contains the most explicit homosexual love scenes, if you can call that, since Brokeback Mountain back in 2005.
Yep.
And the newspaper noted that the money originated from Peter's Pence. That's your money. And this is supposed to be the Pope's charitable fund for the poor, not for homosexual movies, Terry.
Jesse, I got to go knock off some push-ups after this break. No, I mean, no, really, it fries me to actually hear this.
The stomach right now. Huh?
It does. I got to go pump out some push-ups right now because this is so frustrating. But you know what? When we come back, we got good news because I'm tired. I mean, this is so sick. What's the good news? We're going to talk about a priest who stood up for the Catholic faith, and now lay people are going, wow, this guy, and the bishop stood behind him, so that's a good story. Hey, you're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. If you want to make a donation to the Virgin Most Powerful, go to our website or call me on my cell, 661-972-7872. That's virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Year-end statements. Get your tax deduction for the end of the year by calling me at 661-972-7872. When we come back, hundreds of Catholics rallying behind a priest. You'll want to hear this.
This is Matthew Arnold for Virgin Most Powerful Radio. This March, VMPR, in association with the Catholic Resource Center, will be hosting a special conference for the Adoramus Society. Adoramus at the Triduum, a conference on the spirituality of the Triduum liturgies, featuring Father Joseph Fessio, Dr. Anthony Lillis, and Christopher Karstens, addressing such topics as developing a liturgical spirituality, the spirituality of Holy Thursday, the spirituality of Good Friday, and the spirituality of the Paschal Vigil and Easter season. It all takes place March 14th, 2020, at the historic Sacred Heart Chapel at 381 West Center Street, Covina, California, 91723. You can register online at vmpr.org or call now 877-526-2151 to reserve your seat today for Adoramus at the Triduum. Jesus said to the apostles in Luke chapter 10, "Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me." According to Saint Boniface, in her voyage across the ocean of this world, the church is like a great ship being pounded by the waves of life's different stresses. Our duty is not to abandon ship, but to keep her on course. May our Lord help us remain ever faithful to His church, to aid and defend her.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Here's my take. There's an Iraqi cardinal that's pleading for help from Christians.
Wow.
On Nineveh Plain. He's asking for financial and spiritual help in the Middle East and Iraq. I think that $1.1 million would have been better sent, Peter's Pence money,
you think?
To help our Christians in Iraq who are being slaughtered by Muslims than funding a homosexual movie. Terry?
Yes, I just knocked off some push-ups. I had to do that. That story made me sick, and I know it makes you sick.
It was brutal.
It was. It is. It's sick. But, Jess, let's talk about a good news story.
Heroism.
Yes, about a good holy priest. Tell us about that, brother. I want you to tell us.
Well, I'll tell you what. Stories like this, man, it inspires me.
It did.
There, yeah. And the good Catholics out there, there's hundreds of Catholics who are rallying behind a priest who told a lesbian married judge not that she couldn't receive Holy Communion.
Ahead of time, too. On the phone, ahead of time, yes, privately.
It was done privately, as it should be.
Yeah.
So hundreds of Catholics across the country from the Diocese of Grand Rapids, Michigan, attended the 6:30 p.m. Mass few days ago at St. Mm-hmm. Stephen's to show support for Father Scott Nolan, who received pushback after telling a lesbian married judge on the phone, by the way, that she should not present herself to receive Holy Communion.
Right.
Father Nolan's 33 years old. That's a good sign. He'll be around a long time, God willing.
Yep.
He's come under a lot of intense media scrutiny after this disgruntled parishioner, Sarah Smolensky, this chief judge of the Kent County District Court in Western Michigan, told a local NBC affiliate that the priest refused to give her Holy Communion because she's married to a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And so the heavily biased news report, which Rod Dreher of the American Conservative called journalistic malpractice, also featured a woman who said she wanted Father Nolan to leave the parish. Well, Father Nolan had told Mrs. Smolensky, Miss Smolensky, Sarah, during a private conversation on the phone, not to present herself for Holy Communion, and this happened after she and other parishioners wore gay pride pins to
in your face
recently.
Right, exactly.
So several people at Holy Mass spoke with LifeSite News, but on the condition that their identity remains anonymous, and they said the following, quote, "I think Father was in a difficult and delicate situation, but he stood firm for what we believe as Catholics." Another person said, "He showed great humility and great awareness of the situation." Another person said, "This is a total coup against a good priest. It's shameful what's going on." Another person said, "I really like how the bishop responded to the situation." It remarked the young woman who graduated from a nearby Aquinas College. His statement wasn't just one side and slamming the other. Clearly, Judge Smolensky felt hurt, and I think His Excellency showed a good balance of respect and compassion for her and for the truths of her Catholic faith. He didn't give a blanket condemnation. He wanted to reach out. And here's actually what the bishop said. Here's the statement.
Yeah.
He issued a statement in support of Father Nolan, which is good. He supported the priest's decision, noting how inclusion and acceptance are hallmarks of the Catholic Church, but that no community of faith can sustain the public contradiction of its beliefs by its own members. So he backed up the priest. I'm glad he did that. Terry?
Yeah, and not only that, Jesse, if I would have added another paragraph, if I was the bishop, which I'm not.
Yeah.
I would have said this, Jesse, that priest has got a concern for the salvation of souls as number one, which canon law says, not only for the person who was coming up for Holy Communion, but for himself. You know what I mean, Jesse? In other words, it would have been sinful for him, knowing that this person is not living a Christian moral life, that they're living in an objective mortal sin, and they know it, and they rejected the teachings of church on this. If he gave them Holy Communion, he would have participated in a mortal sin. And so I just think that the bishop supporting the priest and doing the right thing is grateful, because I got to tell you right off, after 40 years, you know how many priest friends of mine have been condemned by bishops? I got one as a good friend of mine, and you know him. He was a Vatican diplomat. He didn't give Holy Communion because of people not coming up modestly dressed. And guess what happened to him?
They probably got taken out.
Exactly. The bishop said, you can't do that. Don't judge. See, here's my point, Jess. To have a guy do the right thing in the environment of the church right now, I just want to say thank you, Father, for your, and I'm going to say, courage to do the right thing. That's my take.
Yeah, Father Knowledge, God bless you. We salute you,
I respect
Father.
Him, Jesse.
We salute you, yes. Yeah. And the deacons that were there assisting at Holy Mass, they said, yep, and two other young priests that were there, they said, yeah, we support what Father Nolan did. He defended our Catholic faith. And Father Nolan, he was interviewed by a local reporter, and he says, look, it, I don't want to discuss about who receives or doesn't receive communion in the public, but I stand by my actions. So he did. And it was interesting that the gospel reading for that Sunday.
Oh, yeah, this is good.
it was where Jesus, our Lord, tells the apostles that they would be handed over to the synagogues and persecuted before kings and governors. That was the gospel reading for Sunday.
Yeah.
And so his remarks focused on Mary, Father's remarks in his homily, focused on Our Lady and how she kept saying yes to God. And God calls us not to be successful, but to be faithful. That's what Father Nolan said in his homily.
You got it.
And whatever else happens, well, that just must be the will of God, at least the permissive will of God.
And Jesse, we get texts all the time from priests listening to our show. I don't want to say names, but I got one this morning, yesterday's show with Father Nick. He says, you guys, this is a priest writing to us, you guys are hard hitting on your show yesterday. Thanks for calling out so many issues that us priests could not get away with addressing. Plus, I enjoyed the interview with Father and his perspective. Keep going. Jesse, I get this all the time, and you do too, from priests who say, hey, you guys, I mean, if you were a priest, you couldn't say the things you're saying because your faculties would be taken away. And I say this, Jesse, that's why we do this. We're lay people who love Holy Mother the Church, and we're calling out the truth in charity. I understand, Jesse, that priests can't say what we say. You know why? Because there's certain people in the diocese, your bishops or someone, they're going to take you out for speaking the truth. That's why I appreciate all the radio stations who pick us up and say, you know what? These guys are speaking the truth, but we do it in charity, okay,
yeah,
folks?
Yeah, there you go.
That's clarity and charity is our key. Go ahead,
that's
Jess.
Right. Terry, and I'll tell you, we're all called to be great saints.
Yep.
And let's not miss the opportunity. Right now, it's going to be easier to become a saint right now because—
Absolutely.
Of the persecution that we see happening in the church, even within our church. And what we want to do here in the TJ show is we want to put the spotlight of truth on the culture of death.
You got it.
Because we consider ourselves like a lighthouse in this gathering storm. And how are we going to do this? Speak it, charity with clarity, A, yep. And B, we're going to pray America great again.
Well said. And Jesse, I got the advice of Cardinal Robert Sarah in his book, The Day Is Now Far Spent. Check this out. He says, Jess Romero, Terry Barber, and you, our listener, here's what the Cardinal has to say. Your mission is to live out with fidelity and without compromise the faith you received from Jesus Christ. In that way, even without realizing it, you will save the heritage of many centuries of faith. Do not be afraid because of your small numbers, folks. It is not a matter of winning elections or influencing opinions. It's a matter of living the gospel. Not thinking of it as a utopia, but experiencing it concretely. Wow. Faith is like a fire, the Cardinal said. A person himself must be on fire in order to be able to transmit it. Watch over this sacred fire, folks. May it be your heat in the depths of the winter of the West. When a fire illumines that the night, people will gradually gather around it. That must be your hope. Cardinal Sarah, thanks for that advice, because we here at the Terry and Jesse Show, we are on fire for the love of Jesus Christ and for the salvation of souls. And we bring up these topics not because we like to talk about the terrible things that are going on, but we want to inform you, our listener, so that you can participate in restoring the church through your prayers and sacrifices. Because remember, Our Lady said it. I say it all the time. Souls are going to hell because no one's there to make sacrifices and to pray for them. Will you be willing to pray and make sacrifices? Please do, because that's how our church is going to be restored, by you, the lay people. That's what Bishop Sheen said. Who's going to save the church? You, lay people. And how do we do it? By asking our priests and our bishops and our sisters to live out their vocations as holy priests, holy sisters, and holy bishops.
That's right. If you listen to us, we're going to give you CPR every day. What's that? Catholic Prayer Revival. CPR.
I love it, Jess.
And you know what? Pray your rosary every day. Unite your prayers to our 12-star general, the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Got it.
Our rosaries must be soaked with the graces of Our Lady. And pick up your sword, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Amen.
And our sword must be soaked in the blood of demons and propaganda. And let's unite our souls also to the heels of our Blessed Mother, and unite our prayers to the sword of St. Michael, and deliver a powerful blow to Satan, lies, and the culture of death. You know what? You say, but I'm only one person. Guess what? I'm only one, but I am one.
Amen.
I know I cannot do everything, but I can do something. And what I can do, I ought to do. And what I ought to do, by the grace of God, I will do. Remember, every single one of us is supposed to be reporting for duty, sir.
And the best way to report to duty is to do your daily duty well. So if you're a dad, a mom, a child, do your homework if you're a kid. Do it well. Do it for Jesus. Because every action is like a blank check. If Christ's name is on it, it has infinite value. Now, why am I so pumped right now? I'll tell you why. Because I've got a relationship with Jesus Christ and the Holy Eucharist. And it says to me that I need to share this with my brothers and sisters, because I want to get to heaven and I want my family to get to heaven. I want you, our listener, to get to heaven. So I want to give you.
And we know how it all ends, Terry.
Yes.
We read the end of the book, Revelation 19, 20, 21, and 22. We win.
That's right, brother.
It's a complete wipeout. We win.
I love it.
That's the good news. And the good news is that God doesn't want you to go to hell. God provided you a savior. How? He came down to earth. He became a man.
Amen.
He doesn't want you to be damned. And what's the good news? The good news is that he wants to save your soul through what he did on Calvary, by the merits on Calvary. And you know what? He wants to save your soul, and he loves you the way you are, but he loves you too much to let you stay that way.
Exactly.
He wants you to be holy. He wants you to turn away from sin. God did his part. He already bench-pressed the sins of the world. He wants you to cooperate and receive that free gift of salvation so that we can be saved.
Hey, the only value in saying yes to Jesus is you have the freedom to say no. Please say yes to Jesus Christ and his bride, the church.
Wake up, America.
Wake up. And I want to mention,
hit the snooze button.
Right after the show, my wife is coming in. We're going to do the Bible with the Barbers, and we're going to talk about the Blessed Mother and the Immaculate Conception, and where is that in the Bible? So don't hesitate to come back right after this break. Jesse, what state should we be living in, brother?
Live in a state of grace. Don't live in a state of mortal sin. And Jesus says to St. Faustina, fight like a knight so I can reward you.
Well said. Again, I thank all of you listening. If you want to listen to the podcast, go to Virgin Most Powerful, especially that last segment. You know what? That's what Jess and I do every day to try to inspire you to fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. Full sheen ahead here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Up next, Bible with the Barbers. May God bless you and your family. And thanks again for listening. God love you.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.